This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page number 93, which is in the fifth juz of the Quran, Surah An-Nisa. In the previous episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us a number of instructions concerning the hypocrites and the way that the Muslims should engage with them or not engage with them, as the case may be. And those details are mentioned in that previous episode. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we begin with verse number 92. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ إِلَّا أَن يَصَّدَّقُوا فَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ عَدُوٍ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ فَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ وَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ تَوْبَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Never should a believer kill another believer except by mistake. If anyone kills a believer by mistake, he must free one Muslim slave and pay compensation to the victim's relatives unless they charitably forego it. If the victim belonged to a people at war with you but it is a believer, then the compensation is only to free a believing slave. If he belonged to a people with whom you have a treaty, then compensation should be handed over to his relatives and a believing slave set free. Anyone who lacks the means to do this must fast for 2 consecutive months by way of repentance to Allah. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, as you can see, verse number 97 or 92 rather of Surah An-Nisa, speaks about this issue of murder. And Allah Azza wa Jalla begins by saying, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً. Never should a believer kill another believer. And this shows to you, this particular opening of the verse, the severity of this sin, the severity of this action, and that is murder. To kill another Muslim, it is one of the major sins in Islam. To kill another Muslim is one of the major sins of this religion. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. It is not possible for a believer. Never should a believer. Meaning that it is something so rare as to happen that it should never even or rarely occur within a community. And that is because, as we know, the Sharia gives to people rights. And from the greatest rights that we have is the right of a fellow Muslim over another Muslim. The Muslims have rights upon one another because the bonds that tie them are the bonds of faith and the bonds of Islam. And those bonds of faith and Islam are greater than the bonds of blood or marriage or business or anything else that may occur. And so the believer is like to another believer, the believer is to another believer like a brother. And they are so close to one another that never would they imagine harming one another, let alone getting to the situation where one kills another. And that is why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't return after me like the kuffar killing one another. Don't be like those disbelievers that you kill each other. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned the Muslims about this because he knew that that is something which would take place. And it is something, unfortunately, which we see today, Muslims killing other Muslims. And I don't just mean at wars or at the state level. I mean even individuals. A Muslim will kill another Muslim because of money or because of some deal that they're doing, or sometimes because of sins that they're both engaged in, they're engaged in haram, drugs or whatever it may be, and it leads to killing one another. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. Never should a Muslim kill another Muslim. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ It is not possible for a Muslim to kill another Muslim إِلَّا خَطَأَ unless it is a genuine mistake. And that is why in the Sharia, there are three types of murder that take place. The first of them is intentional murder. Intentional murder is when a person goes out to harm another person with the intention of killing them. That is called in Arabic قَتْرُ الْعَمْدِ That is well known in the books of fiqh. The second type of killing is what we call شِبْهُ الْعَمْدِ It is unintentional in the sense that that person wanted to harm another individual but didn't intend to kill him. And so he wanted to harm them but not necessarily kill them but he ends up killing them anyway as a result of that action. And the third type is the one that is being focused on in this verse and that is unintentional killing, accidental killing. It is قَتْرُ الْخَطَى When a person kills another person, they didn't intend to harm them, they didn't intend to kill them, but they end up killing them by accident. And so that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to here. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا A believer should never kill another believer unless it is a genuine mistake. What happens if it is a genuine mistake? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us a number of instructions. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً If a person kills another believer by mistake, what is the expiation? فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنًا That person must free a slave. They must buy a slave and free them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first expiation. وَدِيَّةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ And they must give the blood money to the family. The blood money is that which has been mentioned within the Sharia. They give that blood money and they give it to the family of the person who is the victim. They give it to his family members as compensation. And that is called blood money, or in Arabic it is called diya. إِلَّا أَن يَصَدَّقُوا Unless those people wish to forego the blood money. The people may understand, for example, that family may understand that it was a genuine mistake. This person didn't intend to harm. It was a mistake that was made. And so they say, we don't want the blood money. It's okay, we forgive you. And no doubt that is something which is good in terms of reward, that a person forgives another Muslim for a genuine mistake that they made. It was unintentional on their part. It was accidental. They ended up killing someone because Allah Azza wa Jalla decreed that that was what would take place. They had no malice in their heart, no ill will or ill intention in their heart. It just so happened that the actions led to the death of another Muslim. And so they forgive. However, that is a favor that they do, if they so choose to do so. If not, then the right of them, or the right that they have, is to receive the blood money from that person who committed the accidental killing. And that blood money is upon his family members. So the murderer, or the person who commits the act of killing, it is upon his close male relatives from his father's side. Those people in Arabic are called the asaba. These people are your close male relatives. They are the ones who come together and they gather that wealth together and they help in the paying of that blood money. But he must still free a slave because the freeing of the slave is for the sin that he committed and that is between him and Allah Azza wa Jal. And the blood money is as a result of compensation to the family of the person who has died. And so therefore there are two rights that are in play here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and he says, فَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ عَدُوٍ لَكُمْ مَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنًا If that person that is killed accidentally was part of a, was with a group of people that are enemies, but he was a believer amongst them and he's killed, then you only have to give the freeing of a slave and there is no diya or there is no blood money that is due. So this is a person who was with non-Muslims, with enemies of Islam, and they are actual enemies. We don't mean just any non-Muslim. No, these are people who are actually enemies of this group of Muslims. They're fighting and so on. And there was amongst them a Muslim. This person kills that Muslim accidentally. And that Muslim has now died. What does he do? He frees a slave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of expiation. And there is no blood money that is due. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ But if that group of people are non-Muslims, but there is a pact and a treaty between you and them, a peace treaty between you and them, فَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ Then you must give the blood money to his family, وَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ And you must also free a slave. This shows you, therefore, these list of commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you the gravity of this issue. And that is because from the things that the Sharia came to preserve, from the objectives of the Sharia, is the preservation of life. The Sharia comes to preserve people's lives. And so that is why anything that harms a person their life, their life, or their standard of living in that sense, that is something which the Sharia has found ways to stop, has made haram, and the steps that lead to it also haram. And that is because people have rights, and from those rights is the right to life. That is from the objectives of the Sharia. So when a person takes away that right, takes away that thing by result of the actions that they performed, the Sharia comes in and says that you must now expiate. And the expiation is comparable to the level of harm that's been done. And the harm here is a great harm, because someone's life has been taken away. That family member who loses that person will feel a great deal of sorrow and pain as a result of the not only the death of that individual, but the manner in which that death took place as well. Because a person may lose a family member, a close family member, because of illness, because of old age, because of one reason or another, and there is still no doubt pain there and sorrow. But that is different to the one who is forcibly taken away from them. He was killed, and because of the act of murder or killing that takes place, it is a different type of pain that has ensued. And so therefore those people have a right that you do some good towards them, and that also you expiate for the sin that you have committed. Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes on to say, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعِينِ تَوْبَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ. And if you cannot give the expiations that Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioned here, you don't have the ability, you don't have the money, you can't financially do so, then, and this is obviously referring to the freeing of the slave, then you must free, or that you must fast, 2 consecutive months. 2 consecutive months. Imagine how difficult it is, and we all know how fasting of Ramadan, the whole month, is something which can take its toll on your body. A whole month of fasting takes its toll on you in the way that you have to preserve that fasting for the whole month of Ramadan. And that is with Ramadan and all of its blessings, because Ramadan is a blessed time. Allah Azza wa Jalla has opened the gates of Jannah, closed the gates of the fire, and so people are more spiritually inclined to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, and everyone around you is fasting. To not fast in that situation, you would feel like you were the odd one out. You would feel as if things are the way that they should be, because everyone around you is fasting, and it's a time where people are reading Quran, attached to the masjid, attached to making dua. It is the blessing of Ramadan. And that is the beauty of fasting in Ramadan also. Because if you were to come outside of Ramadan and try to fast in Muharram, try to fast in Sha'ban as the Prophet ﷺ would do, try to fast in these other months, it takes much more effort. And all of us know this to be the reality. To fast regularly outside of the month of Ramadan takes much more perseverance, much more discipline, requires from you much more effort than the fasting of Ramadan. The fasting of Ramadan, even if you don't practice beforehand, the first day of Ramadan, you just go into it. And yes, those first few days may be difficult, but then you get into your routine and you continue the rest of the month. Now imagine having to fast 2 months outside of Ramadan as expiation. Because when Allah Azza wa Jalla says fast these 2 consecutive months, you must fast them therefore without break. Unless you have a valid excuse, 1 or 2 days you're ill, that's a valid excuse. The woman may, for example, is on her menstrual period, that's a valid excuse. But some of the scholars were of the position, or a number of the scholars were of the position, that if you were to break those 2 months of consecutive fasting without a valid excuse, then you must start again. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, متتابعين. They must be consecutive. Meaning you can't take breaks. You can't just take days off. You can't just say it's the weekend or I'm going on holiday. Those 2 months have to be consecutive. And again, that shows to us the level of how Allah Azza wa Jalla, or the level of this sin that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prescribed for it, such an expiation. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that indeed He is all-knowing, all-wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we can see therefore that this is from the greatest of affairs. And it is something therefore that the Muslim should never want to harm another Muslim. Forget about murder and killing, even to outstretch your hand to harm another Muslim physically, or to harm another Muslim verbally, or to harm them financially, or to harm them psychologically, any way, that is something that a Muslim should refrain from. Because that is something which a person will then have to answer for before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. In verse number 93, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and He says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. If anyone kills a believer deliberately, the punishment for him is hellfire, and there he will remain. Indeed, Allah is angry with him, rejects him, or places his curse upon him and has prepared a tremendous torment for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous verse, as we said, gave us the ruling of those people who commit murder accidentally. This is a person who didn't genuinely want to harm another Muslim, but ends up killing them by an unintentional action that they performed. Allah Azza wa Jalla at the beginning of that verse, as we said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنِ. It is not possible for a Muslim to kill another Muslim, meaning that it should be something that isn't even conceived in the mind, something that can be thought of, or something that can be thought possible to occur. However, as we know, there are people who do so, people who go out with that intention and that firm conviction to kill another Muslim, whatever the reason may be, unless it is done under the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal, by the command of the judge or the Muslim ruler in a Muslim land, that is something different. But for any other person to go and to harm another Muslim or to intend to kill them, that is from the gravest of sins. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal here shows to us, to show the severity of that sin, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. And whoever kills another believer, مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا, deliberately, he had the intention or she had the intention to go and deliberately kill another Muslim, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. The punishment for them is that they will be in hellfire and they will remain therein. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah will be angry with them. وَلَعَنَ. And He will curse them. وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And has prepared a tremendous torment for them. So unless that person makes tawbah and turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have this grievous punishment from Allah Azza wa Jalla on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And so therefore, one of the things that we see from this verse is that, as we know in our religion, every single sin that a person commits, the door of tawbah is open for them. They can turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal and repent, so long as they don't commit shirk. Because shirk is the only sin that Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't forgive. We also know from our aqidah and our religion that any Muslim who is upon tawheed and commits major sins and Allah Azza wa Jal then chooses to punish them in the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them to remain therein until they are cleansed. But eventually, they will be extracted from the fire and entered into Jannah, because none of the people of Tawheed will remain in the fire forever. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla is not saying that they will remain in the fire forever, but Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that from all of the sins that are committed, those who are most likely to have the severest of those punishments before they are extracted because of their Tawheed from the fire of hell are those people who commit murder liberally. This is from, therefore, the gravest and most major of sins in Islam, that a person would physically go and deliberately kill another Muslim. And therefore Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about this torment for them, and not only from the punishment of the fire, but the fact that Allah becomes angry with them and Allah curses them, which, as we said, is to be removed from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to these people that these are the people who commit this type of sin, this type of action, that this is the grave punishment that is in store for them, unless of course they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal, they give their expiation and they ask Allah Azza wa Jal to repent upon them. In the final verse that we will take today, verse number 94, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ضَرَبَتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا تَبْتَغُونَ عَرَضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَعِندَ اللَّهِ مَغَانِمُ كَثِيرَةٌ كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. So, you who believe, be careful when you go to fight in Allah's way, and do not say to someone who offers you a greeting of peace, you are not a believer, out of desire for the chance gains of this life, for indeed Allah has given you plenty of gains. You yourself were in the same position once, but Allah was gracious to you, so be careful, for indeed Allah is fully aware of that which you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He speaks and gives an instruction to the believers when it comes to them fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is said that one of the reasons or the cause of revelation for this verse, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best, but what is mentioned in the books of Tafsir, is that on one of the expeditions that the Muslims were part of, there were a couple of companions, a couple of soldiers, who came across a person. And that person gave them the salam. He said, As-salamu alaykum. And they killed him, and they took from him his wealth. They killed him, and they took from him his wealth. And then they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they told him, and the Prophet ﷺ said, he gave the salams. They said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, he was with the non-Muslim army, he was without enemies, and therefore we consider him to be an enemy." The Prophet said, "But he gave the salams to you," which is an indication that he's a Muslim. And so Allah Azza wa Jal then revealed this verse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you are out fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, then be people who discern. Be people who discern, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, go and seek to clarify, is this person actually a Muslim, not a Muslim? And therefore, because again, and this follows on obviously from the verse previously, because to kill a person who's a Muslim is from the gravest of sins, as the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated in the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, when he killed that man in war, in the middle of a war, in the middle of the battle, after he said La ilaha illallah. And then he came and told the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, "Oh Usama, how could you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah?" Usama said, "O Messenger of Allah, I had overpowered him. I had my sword upon him, and then he said it," meaning he only said it to escape death. He didn't say it at the beginning of our duel. He waited for me to overpower him. He waited for me to have the better of him. He waited until I was about to kill him, and then he said, La ilaha illallah. So I knew that he was just saying it to get away from death. So I killed him anyway. The Prophet ﷺ kept saying to him, "But how could you kill him after La ilaha illallah?" Or in one narration, he said to him, "Ashaqaqta qalba," did you open his heart? Did you look therein that you can ascertain whether he said it sincerely or insincerely? And so Usama said, he kept repeating this to me over and over again until I wished that I had not been a Muslim until that moment, meaning that I had become a new Muslim at that time. And so here, likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that when you come across people and they give you salam, don't say to them that you're not believers, but rather seek to discern and seek to clarify. Why? Because you just want their money. You just want their wealth. Because as we said before, the ruling of the battlefield is that if you kill an enemy, you get to take their belongings that belongs to you, their salb. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that don't kill them just because you want that. For Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you much wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you much spoils of war. So this shouldn't be the intention. Rather, you come across a person and they say Assalamu alaikum, or they say La ilaha illallah. The general ruling is that they would be Muslim if they look like a Muslim, they dress like a Muslim, they behave like a Muslim, they speak like a Muslim. The ruling is that they are Muslim, and therefore the rules of Islam apply upon them, and the sanctity that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to the Muslim also applies to them as well. كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, you also were like this once upon a time, meaning that you were also people of misguidance. You were all born Muslims, and Allah Azza wa Jalla guided you. You also didn't know Islam, and Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to you Islam. So therefore, seek to discern and seek to clarify, for indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is all aware of that which you do. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this instruction to the Muslims, especially at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because often these are times of doubt. People in the time of war and a battlefield, these are times of doubt because of everything that is taking place. But the Muslim, as we said before, is someone who is discerning, someone who seeks to clarify, someone who is careful, because they know that these issues or the actions that we perform, it's not just about the here and now only, but that Allah Azza wa Jalla will hold us to account for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah as well. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.